With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Your digital audio device, tuned to Orange True Podcast, Harvard by CollegeMagnolia.com. The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 8:44 p.m. Central Standard Times. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Drew Croson at CenterCrow2 on Twitter, at CenterCrow on Venmo. Joining me through Skype, recording this because my recording software is not working, is Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for Skype recording.
Signing Marcelo Zuna. We could just take over this pod with the people here and talk Braves for a little bit.
That's what the people want to hear is Braves talk. To the other side of me via Skype, I think coming in clear on his brand new OnlyFans feed, the AU Chief.
Salutations.
He's giving you that Fort Payne ASMR, and now he got the camera to go with it. You guys.
I'm upgrading headsets next week.
Oh my gosh. The people who pay for this content are going to have to be paying a lot.
Can we get him a Mando cutout to go with the 3PO?
Yeah, you guys can't see this because this is so far an audio-only podcast, but he's got a little Star Wars set he's on right now.
It's just my office.
And also, joining us, the doctor himself, Will McLaughlin.
Wish I had a better medical report to bring, but I don't for this Auburn basketball team today.
I know. It's we are in the throes of a 500 basketball season. And as a Mavericks fan, I am also in the throes of somehow we are the second worst team in the West. And no one can figure it out. I can't figure out either one.
Go Trae Young.
If I had an answer for either, well, not like the Hawks aren't tearing it up either, Ryan.
They're not 14th in the East.
They're also in the East. If I had an answer for either one, I'd be probably not sitting here. Well, one of the answers for Auburn, we haven't talked about this. We talked about a lot off the pod. Auburn is one of the most unlucky basketball teams in the country this year. For the first time in a long time.
It's not good. That luck factor in KenPom is not in our favor this year. And I guess it's not the law of averages. James Jones and Josh Dubb would correct us. It's some other term. Basically, it's just averaging out. We've gotten lucky in a lot of other years, and now we're not getting lucky
it's
at all.
It's just chaos Auburn.
Yeah. Sure. The luck factor gives, and the luck factor takes it away.
Yeah.
You'd like to have the luck factor be low on a year like this that literally means nothing. The games you're watching are mere simulations as far as Auburn is concerned.
Especially when you got three two-point losses and a four-point loss. Yep.
Four-point loss to the number one team of the conference.
Yep.
I think we had won 9 straight overtime games, too. Or something silly like that.
I did not have one hope of winning that game once it went to overtime.
Oh, when they took the lead, I was like, oh, this is very not good.
And yet it was a tie game with, like, 12 seconds to go.
I'm growing more and more pessimistic about this team only because I don't, other than Sharif, I don't see a guy who has that, like, I'm going to take over this game and score 30 points if I need to. Or we are not losing. Like Isaac last year on a number of occasions, the South Alabama game being the most notable that comes to my head immediately, was we are not freaking losing to South Alabama.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden just didn't pass. And we just, the last couple of minutes, just took it over. We don't have that guy.
Yeah. I mentioned this last week. As good as Sharif is, he's not the guy that you want to have the ball when you need to win the game.
Yeah, he actually
and he nailed the shot.
Yeah, he's our best option.
Yeah.
But he's not as good as Isaac was at that.
No, he's definitely not. He's not even on that kind of level of like a Mustafa or Bryce and Jared. We were spoiled for years because we had a team full of dudes that whoever had the ball, you had confidence that they were going to score. And now we don't have any dude.
Jared would do it as well every so often. He was just, I'm done passing.
Yeah. Jared, like everybody on the – it's probably why we made the Final Four. Everybody on that team, in the starting five at least and outside the starting five, there were dudes – that you were like, okay, if that guy's got the ball, we're going to be fine. I mean, there was Jared, and there was Bryce, there was Samir. And we just don't have to do this.
Last year's team had Samir and also Isaac and also Austin Wiley, who would every so often go, hey, look, they're guarding me with a 6'3" guy.
Sure.
And even Javon McCall.
And even Javon.
The LSU game.
I mean.
Happy anniversary.
Remember Austin Wiley had 8 points off the bench against Kentucky in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And it was 8 points of, they can't guard me, so give me the rock.
All right. Go ahead and, make the excuse. This team is younger than any team they have played.
Austin Wiley was a high school senior.
Okay, J.T. Thorne's a high school senior.
And Austin had an 18-17 game against Alabama. An 18-17 game.
Of course, he never quite reached that high again. Yeah, but
where are those?
Didn't
games?
JT Thor have like a similar like 15-5-5 or something like that?
Where are those games coming? Where's the 18-17 game from one of our posts?
It's a lot easier to do that when you have other upperclassmen on the team.
That's
true.
No,
Alan Flanagan is your senior leader on this team, and he's a sophomore.
You know what J.T. Thor also has? The best point guard who's ever played at Auburn. The best passer who's ever put on sneakers at Auburn.
He's also the worst shooter on the team right now.
And he also likes to turn the ball over a little bit too much.
If you can't get open and hit open shots when a guy who can find you in the stands is passing the ball, a guy who could find you in a haystack is passing the ball to you, you can't make open shots. I'm sorry. Well, you can't make open shots when Sharif's giving you the ball. Who's giving you the ball next year? We have a guy who passed better than that next year? Don't think so.
Well, I think
sophomore Sharif.
I think JT is struggling a little bit with the physicality of the game at the moment.
I don't have a problem with JT almost at all. My problem is mostly with guys who should be shooting the ball better than they're shooting the ball.
Yeah.
Like guys who literally aren't even attempting shots. For the most part.
Well, our quote unquote shooter can't hit the broadside of a barn at the moment. And that's a problem. The guy who has played solidly for 2 weeks now is Jalen Williams.
Yes.
And he's shooting like 40% from three. He's taking 30 something threes. So
yeah, I know when we talked last week, he was 42% in conference play and he had another good week. So I'm sure that went up.
He's 39.4% on the season. And last week he was 2 of 5 against Georgia and 4 of 7 from three. So that's 50%. So
yeah, he's up to 44% from three in conference play.
Yeah. He's doing well. We're just not having him shoot enough, I guess.
Jamal's shooting every time he gets the ball.
Yeah. Which he's not supposed to be, but he's not getting out of the funk. It's not happening.
His percentages aren't – it isn't like he's shooting 10%.
Yeah.
But he's also not shooting 40%.
Well, he may have shot 10% in that Georgia game.
No, I think – he shot like 25%.
I think
11. Yeah.
Ouch.
But I will say this about Jamal in the Georgia game. I think – he tried to keep us in the game. He was the only one that could knock down shots. But, you know, that Georgia game was, you know, every time Auburn made a run, Georgia had a response.
Yeah.
So.
And not taking shots.
I'm not worried about our offense. I'm really not. We're scoring plenty of points. I'm worried about our defense. We can't defend.
We
defend
are the,
me.
We are the worst interior defensive team I've seen in forever.
And the one guy that we have that's really good at it, it gets in foul trouble. And that's what happened against Ole Miss. And that's really why they tore us up. Because White
is
bananas on us. And
one of those things that, like, you look at some stats, like counting stats, like blocks, and Auburn's, like, the best in America. But, like, blocks is not defense. I mean, it's a defensive stat, but it's, like, it's kind of like there are a lot of defensive backs in football that might have a decent number of interceptions who get burnt every other time. Sure. And that's kind of where Auburn is.
Well, it's not
blocks.
Are we talking about Smoke Monday or no?
It also hurts our rebounding when three guys are going up for a block. Nobody's there to rebound if they don't block it. Yeah. Or even
For conference play. Yeah. So kind of middle of the road in shooting, or effective field goal percentage for opponents is 50%, 7th in the SEC. But we're 11th in turnover percentage, 10th in offensive rebounding, or I guess defensive rebounding, and 10th in free throws attempts per field goal attempt given up. So are we using our length to alter a lot of shots, but they're not doing anything else with it?
Well, we're not. Like, the possession's not over until your team has the ball.
Right.
Right.
And we're not getting the ball. So it's like, we'll block a shot, that's great, then they get it back. Or
you're right back up with it and hit a layup.
Yeah. Or they'll take a shot, we'll defend the shot, have a guy's hand in his face, shot goes up and he misses it. That's awesome. But then they get the offensive rebound. So, like, the possession's not over until we have the ball, and we aren't ending possessions very well. We're also not, like, keeping guys out of the paint. Like, Ole Miss ate Auburn's lunch on the block.
Upsetting.
And that wasn't like the referees. Auburn fans are very quick to call the referees out, which makes sense. The referees in college basketball are terrible.
Sure.
But the referees didn't defend on the block either. They did about as much defending as Auburn did on the block. Like, it was it was good for Auburn to have it. To gain that experience, for JT Thor and Stretch and those guys to gain that experience. But, like, Dylan Carville was pretty bad defensively at times.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I really do think our youth really hurts us when we're going up against a guy like Romello White. I mean, that dude is awesome and old. He's like 23. Like he's, you know, he knows what
Chris
Silva
used to do the SEC.
Yeah, and I mean that has a lot to do with how we looked. And like I mentioned before, Stretch got three fouls in like 4 minutes of play or something like that. And
which is a skill. That's a skill that Stretch doesn't have, and that their offensive players do have.
Yeah,
like they can draw fouls, like Sharif can draw fouls.
Sure. And so, you know, that hurts. I just listening to Bruce talk about what's going on is that he's not throwing any of his guys under the bus. But then the players also say sort of what Bruce says in public is different than what he's saying to the players, I think. And the players know what they're doing. They're not following the game plan. And that has a lot to do with the youth. And you would hope that they could have gotten through that by now. But the biggest thing to be optimistic about is they're learning things this year. They're taking some real tough lessons right now that hopefully will carry through to next year.
Like, this team could be really good with some development and practice and all that stuff. Like,
sure.
This team needs a shooting guard in a major way, or it needs Alan Flanagan to realize – he can get to the rim whenever he wants. Like, if he doesn't charge, if he doesn't go out of control, he really has the ability to get to the rim whenever he wants.
Well, and that's his issue the last couple games is that even when he is getting to the rim, he's in a funk where he can't finish the shot.
Yeah.
It's just the yips, isn't it? Like, we've all been there before.
Well, he's still scoring an insane amount of more points like per 36 minutes than he was last year.
But he's nowhere near as efficient as he was, you know, a month ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
And we put up 109 on South Carolina. It was a whole different story.
Yeah, I don't know if that's he's coming back down to earth a little bit from where he was, or if he's just in a funk and he'll get out of it. It is frustrating to watch. He's getting in foul trouble. Like, I think he's been in foul trouble every game that we've played for the last couple of weeks. And that hurts. And that'll change the way he plays. And that's probably why he's reluctant to go try to get to the rim every time.
Yeah.
I think maybe there may be some deference to Sharif on his part as well when they're on the floor together. And when Sharif's not on the floor, we look absolutely completely lost on offense. So
we look so much worse when Sharif is not on the floor now than we did before Sharif got.
Yeah, it's like we've become reliant on him and we can't function without him.
Well, and remember, as much grief as we give Justin Powell playing the point guard, he's still the second best point guard on this team.
I don't know. I think Alan Flanagan was pretty darn good running point. I'm a big Alan Flanagan homer. Because the dude, his per 100 possession is still really good. He's not the best on the team for 100 possession. That's Sharif, but his offensive rating is really good. He's at 108 per 100 possessions, right behind Sharif. Justin's ahead of him, but Justin's only played 10 games. Justin Powell has only played one more game than Sharif Cooper has played.
So,
well, I think that's said his offensive rating
was 108, but he's 104 in conference play, which, I mean, he's definitely been worse. And obviously, you point at, you know, competition being better, but he's dropped off more than he should have.
Yeah, our conference, these guys have not gotten progressively better each game in conference the way that we thought they might, I think, is safe to say.
Sure.
This team doesn't look markedly better than it looked when we played Alabama in Sharif's first game.
I think we have. This is where I think it is a young team. I think we just, from game to game, we lack a consistency. Because we looked really good against Missouri. And we looked really good against South Carolina. Of course, that... some extenuating circumstances there. They hadn't played.
Yeah, I didn't even say we looked good against Baylor.
We looked good against Baylor.
Oh, we looked so much better against Baylor than we did.
But now, I mean, we've looked bad against several teams, and we've looked bad. Now it's two games in a row that we look really bad.
It's two games at home too. Like,
yeah, that's the
worst part of it if you think about it. And then you think about it too. You know, the Georgia bench, the Ole Miss bench, the energy that they brought, they had more energy than Auburn did.
Yeah,
you know, and that should never happen.
You know who's not looked that bad in conference play is actually Jalen Williams.
Yeah, no, he's been great the last 2 weeks.
He actually may have gotten better each week.
Yeah,
I feel like he's playing his best basketball of the season right now. Sharif makes Jalen Williams a better passer somehow. I don't know how that happened, but all of a sudden Jalen Williams is throwing passes that boggle the mind with his vision.
And as the owner of the Jalen Williams fan account, I approve of that message, Crow, for sure.
Isn't that, I mean,
he has been playing really good the last couple
he's
weeks.
He's averaging almost 5 assists per 100 possessions in conference. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of assist rate.
As a center.
In terms of assist rate for your in-conference games, you've got Sharif at 55%, which is first in the country. I mean, that's insane. Justin Powell was at 31%, Flanagan at 18%. So you have three guys that have played all the minutes at point guard, you're your top three, and then it's Jalen Williams.
Who's a five?
Right. I still contend he's a four. He's a four.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's even playing most of his minutes at four, even though he starts at the five.
Yeah.
I think he's a five in the same way the Warriors will play Draymond Green at five. And that is the comp. That is rich man's Jalen Williams is Draymond Green. That is a
you can get away with that when you have other 6'10 guys on the roster.
I think Jalen's a better shooter.
Maybe. I would die for Jalen to be that good of a defensive captain.
Yeah.
Guys,
I mean, can we get the attitude of Draymond into Jalen though?
I mean, Jalen's averaging his effective field goal percentage for his career is 61. And he's actually better than that this year. He's at almost 62.
Yeah.
So he's doing pretty good. I think Jalen is – Auburn has a lot of expectations on fives.
Sure.
For whatever reason.
And those. I think he's not great when he has to match up against bigger dudes. And that's why we bring – like, I think he can guard – I don't know about one, maybe one through four. It's just that matchup. If he comes up against somebody bigger, he does okay. It's just not great. And I think playing him in the post is just not good. And I think that's reflected in the fact that he's playing mostly at four.
Oh, if he's not playing, actually playing. If he's having to play one-on-one basketball at the block against a Chris Silva type.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So JT Thor is playing 24 minutes a game in conference play. So the other 16 minutes are going to Jalen.
We played this weird zone yesterday against Ole Miss that was pretty darn effective.
Yeah.
It was like a 1-3-1 or like a 1-1-2-1. It was bizarre. But if we play a little more of that, Jalen Williams is a phenomenal zone big.
Yeah.
Cause he knows he knows where to stand. Like,
yeah.
We have a couple of guys on the team whose basketball IQ isn't like through the roof. Jalen's not one of them. He knows where the ball's gonna go, he knows where to be. He has a high basketball IQ.
Yeah, I agree.
Two things I want to say about Jalen, and to add to the point, you know, Jalen was 10-17 in the two games against Ole Miss this year. Like, he was really good from three.
Yeah.
And the other thing Ole Miss
is one of the best defenses in the conference.
Yeah, like, so he was really good at shooting in both games. And the thing about Jalen is I feel like with Jalen, his first shot to me kind of determines how his game is going to go. When he makes the first shot of the game, his first shot, he tends to have a really good game. When he doesn't, it's a struggle. So to me, you know, that's always the thing I look for when I'm watching the games at the beginning is when Jalen's first shot goes up. If it goes in, I have a pretty good feeling Jalen's going to go for about 15. If it doesn't, then it's going to be a struggle. That first shot, and it's normally a three. It sets the tone for how he's played, and he's been knocking them down lately, and that's why he's been so effective.
That's a good point. I think we've got four of those guys on the team. I think Devin Cambridge is the same way. If his first shot goes in, he is like green light, let's go. Devin isn't the guy you want running the zone. He's not the super high basketball IQ guy Jalen is. But he also was pretty dang good against Ole Miss. Like, Devin Cambridge was not the problem against Ole Miss.
No, I don't think Devin's really been the problem against anybody.
He's been good on defense. He's pretty good.
He's been pretty good defender. He's had a couple of bad games, I'd say, here or there. But he's definitely not the problem. There was not – like, I wasn't wishing that Jamal had started against Ole Miss.
Definitely not.
And I guess maybe there's some people that think Devin's a problem because he hasn't scored 30 points in a game or something, but you know, I'd love to see him knock down shots a little better. He hasn't been great at that, but everything else he's been doing fine.
I have a hard time with people giving Devin a hard time, considering that, especially against Georgia, he was the guy that had the most energy on the Auburn team, and he's been a lot better. I mean, I know he started against Ole Miss for the first time since Sharif came back, but he'd been really good in that six-man role. So it's hard for me to even think, you know, and I know, you know, defense and three-point shooting, but anybody that wants to criticize Devin, he definitely brought the most energy against Georgia Tuesday night. So
he's only had one bad game in conference play, really.
I agree. I mean, Devin Cambridge has been good in conference.
He struggled in the Arkansas game.
Yeah, that's the one.
Other than that, let's see. He's been double digits in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All but three or four.
Yeah. So he's double digits in 8 games in conference?
I mean, 7 of 11. And 4 of the 11, they didn't have double digits. He had 9 and 8. So there's really only 2 games where he hasn't been good.
And he's stuffing the stat sheet, too. He's got a ton of blocks. He's got a ton of rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's really not turning the ball over very much.
I think he's been really solid in conference.
Yeah. We were a little shaky on him earlier this year, but I think Devin and Jalen have been kind of your MVPs.
There was a lot of expectations for Devin. Devin was taking on a much bigger role in this team than he was expected to. And when it didn't happen non-conference, everybody was so disappointed in him because the expectation is he was going to be one of the guys, especially when Sharif didn't start the season.
And to be clear, somebody with 0 career starts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this team was starting with this year. So, I mean, this isn't like we've got youth in a couple spots. Like, no, this entire team is that spot.
Yeah.
I have a hard time being that upset. And maybe it's because we started the season with no postseason expectations. But I don't know. These guys, they're in every game. Even though they're not winning the close ones right now, I think, you know, we hit on earlier, that's only going to benefit them in the long run.
Yeah. And guys, we're in a COVID season where things are just so out of the norm. We've gotten to watch Auburn basketball play 20 games this year. Just be thankful for that.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing that we played 20 games. I think South Carolina hadn't played their 5th yet. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk Auburn in the pros.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm going to go to the back, but you guys can actually start. And we're back at 35 minutes and 35 seconds. And here to talk about Auburn and the pros, Dr. McLaughlin.
Thank you, Crow. So one of the things I've been doing this year, in addition to keeping up with our team, is keeping up with some of the former Auburn players, whether they're playing in the NBA, playing in the G League, or even overseas. And this week, the G League season starts. They're actually doing a bubble down in Orlando. So, if you love Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, and who doesn't, you get to see them on the same team again, because they're going to be playing on the Westchester Knicks, which is the New York Knicks G League team. Their season starts on Wednesday, and it's going to be exciting to see those two back together again. Jared's on a two-way deal with them. He got into 2 games with the New York Knicks, but he has played next to none on that team. And so I'm excited to actually get to see Jared back on the court, as is Bryce Brown. And it's pretty criminal to me that he doesn't have a two-way deal, but it is what it is.
Are we thinking that the two of them are both going to be starting on that team?
I'd like to think yes.
I mean, I think if Jared has a two-way deal, he's kind of the favored player there.
Yeah. I think Bryce will start at the two. I think the big hurdle to that got cleared yesterday because Dennis Smith was going to play on this team, Knicks G League team as well, but he was in the Derrick Rose trade, so he's
free off. Dennis Smith.
Yes, the Dennis Smith. Yep.
They freed him finally. There was free Dennis Smith Jr. Twitter campaign. The Knicks are the only team that has had multiple hashtag free. So and so in the last 3 years.
So is Derrick Rose back with the Knicks? Is that what
he's here? Back with the Knicks, yeah.
Back with Thibodeau, right?
Which means, Chief, that Tom Thibodeau has had Derrick Rose on his team wherever he has coached. When he has been the head coach, he gets Derrick Rose. It's like the first thing he does.
Well, that's smart, but
wow. It was smart in 2011.
Yeah, yeah.
Franchise, like you have a guy, like maybe you go get the Auburn guys right away.
Sure.
That's just what Tibbs doing.
It's really funny. He went and got him in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, and now he's going and getting him in New York. But, yeah.
DeRozan.
Good for Jared.
So
sure.
Super good for Jared. I think also good for Bryce.
I think, yeah, I mean, Bryce had a really good year last year. He was on the Celtics G League team, but he was also on the same G League team as Tremont Waters and Taco Fall. So right. He was quite overshadowed by those guys, but he had a really good year. He has the most threes in a game without a miss in G League history. He had that 11 for 11 game.
Right.
And they didn't even win that game. That's the crazy thing. But Bryce Brown, I honestly thought he would get a two-way deal this year, and he didn't. So he's got a lot to prove, but I feel like he has over and over again. So what's new?
It's tough when you're 6'4 shooting guard.
Yeah.
Like he's the height of a guy who needs to be a point, and he's not. He doesn't have the point.
Yeah. He's a good defender, but he'd have to be defending 6'8 guys. So yeah. It's like.
I mean, he's defending James Harden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the player he's defending. And Luka and guys like that. That's not.
It's tough. Not
really great for Bryce.
And speaking of guys who defend James Harden, Isaac Okoro has done that. He's defended a lot of, you know, LeBron, KD. He's, you know, and he's actually played the most out of the guys in the NBA. I mean, his stats aren't the greatest in the world, but, I mean, were they honestly at Auburn? He wasn't, you know, he didn't average 20 points a game, really. He's averaging about 8 on this team. But he's playing pretty much the best team's player on defense every night, so.
And this team is terrible.
They're actually doing pretty good, are they not?
No. They were doing really good out of the gate. They beat the Nets twice. Since then, they have been trash. And most people think they're going to trade, like, there are rumors they might trade half the starting lineup. So it might be a different team Okoro's on after the
offseason. Which is unfortunate because, I mean, Okoro and Sexton is not a bad 1-2 to start.
Oh, they're going to keep them.
Yeah, okay. Those are your two cornerstones.
They're going to trade Andre Drummond because he's got a big contract and is actually having a pretty good year.
He's having a phenomenal year.
And if you're a team that's looking for a ring, you could add a guy who's getting 20 and 10 every night. You do it. And they're going to, if Kevin Love ever shows that he's healthy, they're going to trade him quicker than you can say Jack Robinson. And, I mean, they got a couple of guys they're going to get rid of. JaVale McGee, he's going to get traded. Like, they got three guys that have played the same-ish position, and they're going to move them.
So the other guy they would build around would be Jared Allen, who they got in the James Harden trade. They've wanted him for quite a while, and he's been fun. Like, behind Isaac, he's my second favorite player on the Cavs, and I've watched a lot of Cavs games. They're fun. They're a young, fun team, but, you know, it's like the Auburn team. They're learning. They're learning as they go.
They are learning on the fly, and Darius Garland's been pretty good. They got Chief. They have one of the best nicknames ever. With Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. They call him Sexland.
Nice.
And the official Twitter account will tweet Sexland! !
Nice. There was totally a T-shirt campaign, I think, that they tried to get behind, like, with that.
But how is Dangelo not on this team?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Well, Dangelo's probably busy.
Who else? Okay, so how's Chuma? Have you talked to Chuma yet?
No, I hadn't talked to Chuma yet. No, so. He is working he's played three games here, you know, the last week or so. He missed about a month because he had a bone bruise in the knee. So, he came right out of the gate his first game back last week and knocked down a couple threes, scored 10 points in like 6 minutes. While he did that, he picked up 4 fouls and didn't score again the rest of the night. But, he's averaging about 4 points, 3 rebounds. You know, he's playing about 16 to 18 minutes off the Magic bench right now. And that's a team that has just been absolutely decimated by injuries.
Yeah, that Magic team has been – they're not great either.
No.
And their fan base has been kind of clamoring. I kind of have delved into Magic Twitter and Cavs Twitter recently. And both fan bases seem to like the Auburn guys.
Yeah,
Magic Twitter is like desperate for Chuma to get back and get healthy, which I think is understandable considering he's been in the league technically 2 years and played half of one season's games.
Yeah, played eight played, games.
Yeah, eight, not even that. Eight games.
Eight total games. Yeah.
God
eight.
Bless.
He's still considered a rookie.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
So he's a guy that gets he's getting two rookie cards basically because last year he didn't play. But
they were the last undefeated team in the NBA, and then Markelle Fultz tore his ACL, and ever since then it's been downhill from there. But
everyone's been hurt on that team. Like literally, their whole starting five has missed time.
Yeah. But him and Cole Anthony together would be a fun dynamic duo going forward for them. And, you know, Nikola Vucevic.
Vooch.
I think he had like 41 the other night. So
here's the problem with the match, real quick. Their four best players all play five and four.
Yep.
So they got a bunch of dudes that don't play any. Like Mo Bamba plays no minutes. And they need to move him because he's actually not half bad, but he doesn't play but like a couple of minutes a night because there's three guys ahead of him who are the three best players on the team.
Sounds like maybe they should make a trade with the Cavs.
I was about to say,
swap some
dude,
pieces
they
there.
Don't need any more fours and fives.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, Cleveland does not need any more fours and fives. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Neither one of them do. They need to make a trade for Isaac. Frio Coro. Yeah. No, I actually really like Sexton and Isaac together. All right, so Will, how have you been following the international ball?
Yes. So. Austin Wiley is playing in Germany, and help me out with this, Crow, the Rammerstrom Gladiators in Trier. Did I say that right? Okay.
Yeah, Trier, genau.
So he's playing in the same league that Malik Dunbar was in last year. He just went over there not too terribly long ago. So he's only played three games with this new team, but he's averaging 15 points and 8 rebounds a game right now. So he had a 22-8 game. Last time out, their game got postponed yesterday. So, but he started on a team in Ludwigsburg. Ludwigsburg, but he was at the end of the bench and he wanted some minutes and wanted to play. And I can't say I blame him. So they moved him to this other team that's in Pro A, which is the second league. So, but I mean, the thing with Austin is, you know, I kind of was hoping he'd be in the G League this year, but Austin obviously is not a 3-point shooter. He's a big man that can't shoot the three. So, I mean, that really limits his potential there, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's – you go to a first league team like Ludwigsburg, they've got it figured out in terms of, like, their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And they – I think he joined, like, mid-season, something weird like that, too.
Yeah, he was – yeah, like
– It was never going to be, like, he's going to show up and start playing big minutes for – like, first league German is not a huge step back from like the G League. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty high level league. It's not Spain or Turkey, but it's a good league. So Austin made the right move by wanting more minutes, and I think Trier doesn't have a lot of dudes. Second league German league is basically like I would say that's kind of comparable to the level of competition he played in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit worse in some games. There are going to be some games where he's best on the court by a mile. But there are going to be some games where there's some dudes there who can flat out play who are trying to work their way up. But I actually like this for Austin. I think he could have a long career in Europe where you don't have to have five dudes who can shoot threes in the European game the way that you can in the American game right now. And part of that's just because the court is a little more crammed because the dimensions are a little bit different. So, which is good for a guy like Austin. Plus, he's going to get like 1,000 rebounds a game. Yeah. He's an elite defender at any level. He would be an elite defender in the NBA. And he's an elite defender in Europe.
Speaking of guys that getting a lot of rebounds a game, let's segue to Horace Spencer because that guy is eating.
Well, Horace is like, what is he like? The second league or third league in Turkey?
He is, I think it's a second league.
Yeah.
But he is eating. Like, he's averaging about 14 and 12 a game.
Whew.
So he's actually one of the league's
best. Double.
Yeah. He's one of their league's best players this season. Like, if you follow the Turkish Twitter accounts, they're always, you know, tweeting highlights of him and statistics and stuff. And
You know, he's averaging almost, you know, he's averaging two steals, two blocks a game in addition to his statistics. He's had quite an impact on the team he's playing for. He's playing for Kosa Eli Kagaspor. They're like a middle of the road. They're a middle of the road team in that league. But
yeah,
he's literally had 10 plus rebounds in all but four games. And I believe they played 17 games this, or 16 or 17 games this year. So he's going to be pretty consistent, you know, double doubles, you know, or close to it every time out.
100%. And he's kind of in the same boat. Like, European basketball is not as physical defensively, so it's a lot more up and down. And Horace is an up and down dream. He loves up and down. It's kind of when the game gets a little messy, a little sloppy, that's when Horace eats.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to love it. He's going to love it over there. Love it. I think, yeah. Is Malik still playing in Egypt?
Yeah, Malik's still playing in Egypt. It's really hard to find any statistics. Really, the only time I can find any stats is when he posts his Instagram videos about play. So it's really hard to find. But as far as I can tell, you know, he's doing well over there. But like I said, it's just finding stats in Egypt is like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
It's my biggest challenge.
Have him on the show and have him tell us himself.
Yeah,
we need to do it. I hope he follows the Marshall Henderson route and plays like a couple of years in weird leagues, and then becomes an assistant coach.
That'd be great.
Him as a GA would be amazing.
Because Marshall played like in Iraq, like legitimately Iraq.
Yeah, sounds about right. He is playing on the War Tampa team this summer. So Malik, that is so. That got announced on Friday.
Are you the social media manager for the War Tampa team?
What now?
Are you like in charge of social media?
Just a fan.
You should be.
You are my source for all War Tampa news.
Well, I'm excited about it because it's basically all Auburn.
It's going to be an all Auburn team. Yes, it's going to be an all Auburn team.
It sounds like they're changing up the coaching too, right?
Yes, they're changing the coaching staff. I'm sure they'll announce soon what it is, but so far Malik's committed to play for him, Dan Gell's committed to play for him, and Sean Murray's committed to play for him. Those are the three guys so far.
LaRon's coming back too.
And yeah, LaRon Smith. Yes. So speaking of, we talked about, you know, we mentioned Sean Murray and LaRon Smith. So unfortunately for Deshaun Murray's, you know, he's playing in Luxembourg, and he was scoring like 25, 30 points a game until they shut the league down due to COVID. Mm. And they haven't played since mid-October.
Wow.
Luxembourg rules, by the way. I don't feel sorry for Deshaun Murray because he's been making decent cash and living in Luxembourg. There's an Indian place that is unbelievably good, and there's some great nightlife in Luxembourg. Shout out to Luxembourg. That is a good international school. If you have kids, send your kids there. they get their brains beat in by my girls' basketball team when I used to coach. But
they speak English there, right?
They speak everything in Luxembourg.
Yeah, no, well,
because it is a micro country.
Right. It's a city, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we mentioned LaRon Smith, and he's playing for Navarra over in Spain. And he's averaging about 6.66 rebounds a game right now.
He's playing for Navarre. Navarre's the second league. He's not in the ACB.
Well, yeah, I think they're second league as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
TJ Dunnins playing too?
Yeah, so TJ Dunnins is playing in the Czech Republic. I don't know if their season just ended or what, but he averaged 13.5 points, 6 rebounds, 4.5 assists a game. He had 22 points in each of his last two games. In the Czech Republic, they were like 10 of 12 this season, 10 and 12 rather this year. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, starting, he's been over there for a couple, you know, he's kind of moved around since he left Auburn, but you know, he's been making money and playing professional ball overseas. So.
And Quantes Robertson still plays with the Fraport Skyliners guys in the first league in Germany. He has been playing in first league German basketball since college.
2009. Yep.
For the same team.
What's so, What's Kenny G up to?
Kenny G is playing for Mornar Bar Montenegro. If I didn't say that right, I apologize. He's averaged about 9.5 points, 4 rebounds a game. They're one of the best teams in that league. They're also playing in like a Euro Cup deal. But the one stat I want to say about Kenny G is he's shooting 48.8% from three this year.
Gee whiz.
Yes. So, and I'm combining like all the league games and Euro Cup games, but he's 60 for 123.
It's amazing.
If my math is right here.
Still the one guy I'd want to see play for Bruce Pearl out of.
Well, hey, we need a shooter right now. Bring him back.
That's for real. And he was in the G League last year. He was playing for the Hawks G League team. So, yeah.
Came in about halfway through the season, right? Well, not last year, because, right? Oh, well. Anyways,
so
guys, last time they played,
we don't talk enough about how Quantes Robertson has been playing in the Euro League. Like, he's playing at he is the highest level athlete in the pre-Bruce Pearl era of Auburn basketball.
And the thing is he's been on the same team since 2009
forever. He's still averaging 9 points a game.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Pretty Where is good. He at?
He plays for Frankfurt, for the Fraport Skyliners in the first league in Germany and the Euro League.
So Frankfurt got a nice place to settle down.
I mean, it's an all right town. Great airport. Good way to get home. Direct flight to Atlanta.
Is Sim Bauer still in the G League?
No, I haven't seen Sim Bowers in the G League. I don't know what Sim Bowers is doing anymore, to be honest. But I haven't seen him. I know he was in the G League with the Wisconsin Herd for a little bit, and I know he played on the Golden Eagles TBT team. But I don't know. There was some rumblings he might be on War Tampa this year, but I haven't seen anything in quite a while.
That'd be funny.
Let's see.
The last I saw him was
on Real GM.
He was in a basketball league of Serbia, which I think is the second league. No, it's top tier. He's in the first league in Serbia. In 2019, that was the
FMP Beograd.
Yeah,
it's an interesting place to for a man such as Sim Bowers to end up.
It is. Serbia is a basketball crazies country.
Mm.
Burn a neighborhood down after a basketball.
I mean, it's not really just about basketball, though, is it? Just anything in the Balkans is crazy.
Yeah, well,
when it comes to
a lot of those places, man, don't like people that look like Sim. That's kind of what I was.
Well, that's casually libelous for the good people of Belgrade.
Okay. there's a lot of racial incidents in sports in Eastern Europe. That's all I'll say.
It is not one of the teams that's actually owned by a political party, because there are a couple of those in Serbian basketball, which that's a fun time. but he was on a team that was from a city called Novi Sad, and now is in Belgrade. But it's Belgrade basketball is a big deal, man. There's like multiple pro teams, like four or five first league teams in one city. Neighborhood versus neighborhood, club versus club. People losing it. It is a fun time. People lighting fireworks off inside. Always a good time.
I got three more for you guys real quick that I'll mention. For the long suffering Auburn fans, Tay Waller. He's playing still over in Bosnia. Yeah.
Nice.
So
speaking of the Balkans.
Yeah. So to keep up with the Balkan conversation, he's averaging like 7.5 over there this year. A couple of guys from the early stage of the Bruce Pearl era, Antoine Mason, is also in Spain. Valladolid, if I mispronounce that, I'm sorry. He's averaging like nine points a game over there.
That's pretty good
for that team. And then Tyler Harris actually went to Qatar this year.
His brother is just absolutely demolishing the NBA.
Yes, Tobias is
wild.
Tobias having a great year.
Yeah, I guess he's been doing fine in the NBA until now, but now he's just like. Just kill him.
He's always been a guy. He's always been a guy you want on your team, which is why he keeps getting traded. He's never like, he's some talent. But now he is fully weaponized.
Tyler Harris demolished this league in Qatar. He averaged like 15 and 9.5 rebounds a game. And I think their season's already over, and they won the league that they were playing in. But yeah, Tyler Harris had a good year over in Qatar.
Knowing Qatar, they will probably try to nationalize him to get him on their Olympic team.
National team.
They have a habit of doing that.
Tyler Harris is maybe the most underappreciated Auburn athlete of the last 10 years.
I agree with you, Chief. That's 100%. Good,
yeah. He's a solid guy.
Right behind KT Harrell.
Yeah, well, he was just a solid dude that came in and just to help Bruce, who, you know, was like a father to his brother, and you know, he was just a good dude, good locker room guy, solid player, and I can't say enough good things about him and just his 1 year at Auburn, but I appreciate him.
You know, him, LaRon Smith, Ronnie Johnson, you know, those are the guys that came in for a year at the beginning of the Bruce Pearl era, and they helped, you know, lay the foundation for what we have now. Those are the guys that committed to Auburn, committed to Bruce Pearl before we started getting the 4 and 5 stars. Yeah. And we don't talk about them enough. We don't appreciate them enough. But for what those guys did for this program, it speaks volumes. So
I would love a Ronnie Johnson on this team. That's a grad transfer point guard. Pretty nice to have.
Yeah.
Just a guy who can get the ball across half court.
I'd love to have Tyler Harris on this team.
I think Tyler Harris on the Chuma Okeke team would have been a first-round draft pick. I think people would have been like, oh, this dude's super. I think fit is so big in basketball. And, and like being in the right place at the right time is such a big deal that like Chuma was so great for that team.
Yeah.
And I really think that like a guy like Tyler Harris
could
have done a similar thing with that kind of talent around him.
Yeah, and the reason I think he'd be great for this team, I just think he'd be a calming influence on this team when we get kind of out of sorts, which is part of our problem, especially on defense. But
that's a good hypothetical, Chief.
Yeah.
What non-Final Four era Auburn Tiger team player would you put on this team?
Not named Kenny
Gate. KT.
KT would be real.
I mean, this team needs a 3-point shooter. Is KT.
Yeah.
I mean.
Surprised you guys aren't saying TJ Dunnins.
Well, that would
are we counting are we pre-Bruce, you know, pre-Bruce
no.
Just Bruce Breyer?
Just Bruce works, but no guy who got minutes on the Final Four team can be named. Because yes, great.
Oh, okay, wait. I'm gonna cheat then.
Yeah, give me cheer.
Isaac Okoro.
Oh yeah! Oh no! Good point.
Isaac Okoro on this team. Well, we saw it last year. We were a different team with Isaac Okoro than we were without him. So
Isaac on this team is interesting because Isaac on this team, you don't have the offensive breakthrough of Alan Flanagan. It's a good point. I think he's a better Alan Flanagan.
Yeah, I think he shoots the three better this year than he did.
But what position does he play? Two or three?
Well, he's playing the three, and Al can play the two, and we don't have to play Jamal 25 minutes again.
So you got Sharif, Allen,
Isaac,
Thor,
and Jalen.
That's a heck of a lineup.
Yeah, I'd take it.
So I guess that's the question. Would you rather have KT Harrell or Isaac Okoro on this team?
Isaac Okoro.
Isaac.
I mean, anytime you can take a lottery pick.
Well, that and specifically because we mentioned that defense is our big problem now, and I think our defense looks completely different with Isaac Okoro locking their best player down.
I think I'd rather have Quantes Robertson, led the SEC in steals, play point guard.
Yeah.
Period. Wow. Play defense and play point would be really nice to have.
Yeah.
I don't want Isaac playing point.
No. Well, that's true. Yeah, I guess it would be – you do have to think, do you want to bring in somebody that's going to start or somebody that's going to come off the bench and give you quality?
Because at the moment, we got one guy on the team that can get the ball across half court without my heart beating out of his chest.
Varez Ward.
All right, that's all I need to hear. All right.
How long ago or how far back do we have to go where Wes Flanagan would have still been the second-best point guard on the team? We're talking like 40-year-old Wes.
That was before Doc Robinson. So
I think Chuck or Wesley Person might be the best 3-point shooter of this team right now.
Well, I mean,
think that's a given. But
all right, what else we got, Ryan? I don't think we have anything else. Next week we're going to talk a little bit of baseball with the McCrack of the Bat, Drew McCracken. That's my new nickname for him, McCrack of the Bat.
I did want to mention one what if. There was a one moment where JT Thor really wanted to dunk on like four guys, and he didn't do it. He got fouled, and it didn't happen. But man alive, I was already coming up out of my seat when he
had one.
He had one where he did dunk on like three people. But there's another one where I could see it in his eyes when he got the ball and started going to the basket. I'm like, oh, this dude's going to try to dunk on all these guys. And I think they knew it too, and that's why he got fouled for you.
So. I am Groot. That's what he looked at him, and I am Groot. That's when it had the angry Groot face.
We'll see if Auburn can make it two in a row at Vandy tomorrow night when they take on the Commodores, or tonight, I guess, when you hear this.
In the worst arena in basketball.
Huh?
The worst arena in all of basketball.
Oh, I wish I was going to be there. I wish I was going to be in the building, but, you know.
Is it worse than Coleman? I haven't been to Coleman.
Here's the thing about Coleman.
It's not worse than Coleman.
Coleman operates on a normal plane of existence.
Yeah. It looks like a theater. Real basketball court.
Yeah. Vandy plays in a weird, like, place with all the, like, a hall of beers.
It's a theater. It's basically like a theater.
It's a fun house.
But yeah, I don't hate it. It's not bad.
You're on the end of the court, below it.
You might as well be playing in a cafeteria at high school.
clear out the
tables. Let's throw it out here.
It's weird to maneuver through, but it's different. You know, I don't hate it. I mean, I went to Coleman last year and Memorial Gym, and I like Memorial Gym better. That's probably not a popular opinion, but that's just my personal opinion.
Would you like it better if they were flip-flopped in terms of schools? Like if Alabama had Memorial Gym,
we would talk
so much trash about their weird stadium.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
Memorial Gym was
plenty of trash about Stegman, so.
Like if Memorial Gym was full of BAMs.
I don't think it would be
full of BAMs that are trying to talk up of, oh, this is how it should be. This is way better than anything else.
Yeah.
We invented basketball this way. Yeah. And we're so ahead of the curve.
Coleman's just a big old building is that they've updated a few times. That's the only.
I hope they never tear it down.
Oh, they're gonna.
And I can't wait to see how they underachieve the talent they got on this team. It's going to happen.
It'd be really nice if they just lost the rest of their games.
Sure.
Let them peak now. You know, we'll see what happens when March rolls around. But yeah,
I just want them to lose one game in a heartbreaking fashion that ends the season.
I told Will this a couple weeks ago. There's been a few mocks or bracketologies that I've seen where they would be a two seed playing my favorite mid major right now, Grand Canyon, and big Grand Canyon fan. I've watched them a couple times. They've won me a little bit of money. I'd love to see them lose a 15-2 game.
Is Grand Canyon the team that just shoots threes? No, it's
not. No, but they've got one giant, like, 6'10", 260 guy. His last name's Midgard. Like straight out of Thor.
Nice.
Yeah.
You should have come here. We could have had Thor and Midgard.
All right, guys. We will see y'all next week. Nixta Voka. As we talk a little bit of baseball, seam ball with the Crack of the Bat, Drew McCracken, thanks to our special guest, Dr. Will McLaughlin. Always a pleasure to see you on the call. Thanks to Ryan and for Chief. It's me, Senator Crow, saying I hope you have a War Eagle weekend.
War Eagle.